to me, my wife and I hadn't talked too much about, I mean, we had talked about this, but the notion, anything to do with blessing and cursing really, you know, wasn't something we had spoken of, but she brought it up, and there were some things on my mind, came to my mind actually mostly this morning that sort of go along with that, but anyway, I'm going to try to, you know, we've talked about this building, and so I'm going to mention a couple things. We went and looked at it yesterday with our tried and true realtor of old, and the agent from the seller. And as my wife said, it's great, and it's great, and it's great, and the property is great. And anyway, I took a bunch of pictures, and then the seller's realtor left, our realtor left, my wife left, and I had started to drive out of there, but I was going to stop and look at a couple of spots and then take pictures. But anyway, after I stopped, I thought, no, I'm gonna go back over the building. I'm gonna stand on this blue line, and I'm gonna walk around the building 7 times. Well, I pray about this. And on the first time around, lo and behold, there was a woman walking 2 big, like full-size poodles. You know, the big ones. They're actual dogs. And I didn't think much of that. It's just me going for a walk. She's going for a walk. But I figured she'd be gone by the time I came around the next time, but she wasn't. So, you know, it's just the thoughts that go through your head. Now, they weren't particularly strong on me, but I've been through this many times where you're going to do something, and then, oh, well, it turns out there's somebody that can see you, or it wasn't what you expected, and it's like you consider not doing it. I didn't consider stopping, but I felt that thing, you know. And I came around again, and she was there. And then she did move off a bit, but, you know, she probably saw me at least on the third time around. And, yeah, I mean, I would be wondering why somebody was walking around that building myself. And then there was some neighbors out in the yard, not very long, but, you know, I was aware that somebody could see me through the window. I mean, I didn't really care, but, you know, the thoughts go through your head. And the thoughts you have based on what you think could be with somebody else can stop you, but it's not the else that stops you, it's you that stops you if you stop. And those things are very powerful. The thoughts in your head are very powerful. And the good news, if you study the Bible, you do discover that it's possible to have new thoughts, to have different thoughts, to change your thoughts, and to get help changing your thoughts. So anyway, I walked around. I guess I was probably a little tired, and you know, it wasn't such a long walk. I suppose it was 3/4 of a mile. I didn't walk right up against the building. And you know, I just looked at the building. I thought about the building. I thought about who God is. I thought about who we are. And then when I got the 7th time around, I walked over to the front door. I put my hands on it up about this high, and I just said, "Well, you know, Lord, everything belongs to you, and I know you can give this building to us if you want to." And you know, I'm asking for it. And so this gets into the thing about how we speak, right? In the end, the issue, I think I made it clear last week, it's like this building or any given set of material things is not the issue per se anyway. It's not really the thing. But I found myself wondering if we could, God's given us some things that some of us think of as rules, right? I was just wondering if we could agree on one rule. We can even vote on it. One congregational rule today. And before I say what that is, I'm going to say that I mentioned something about how we talked last week. I don't even remember what it was. Remember that one columnist he used to talk about alert readers. One alert listener, while I was in the back room later on during the Onig, at some point asked me something about something I said, and it was basically something along these lines. Well, was that an acceptable thing to say? Was that good? I mean, is that okay? I thought for a minute, and then I said, "Oh, you know what? That wasn't helpful, and I don't see anything useful about it. So, you know, thanks. You know, it wasn't something I should have said." Would have been better not to say it. And so that was good, see, because it made me think about things that I think. Sometimes we should think about the things we think. And then we should notice whether the things we think, the good ones, are if they match what we do. And they don't always. And it's good to have somebody point out, and in this case it wasn't, and tell me what I did or pronounce something about me. They asked me a question. And based on the question, I determined that, oh, yes, the thing that they were sensing, which is why they asked the question, was like, yeah, I got to watch that. I should change that. Repent for that. So I'm wondering if we can vote on this one rule. It's a congregational rule. And so this would be it. This is probably about the briefest way I could put it. No negative speech. Those in favor of not speaking negative, unhelpful things, raise your hand. There was one holdout, but it went up. It wasn't actually a holdout. Okay, so I have a mouth and a tongue, and I'm 60 years old, so I'm very intimately familiar with how possible and likely it is to speak in a way that is not what one should speak. So I have, like Yeshua in that sense, I can have sympathy for those who need it, which is all of humanity, I guess, and Yeshua has sympathy for us. So, and I'll leave the rest of it for next week, but what? We will need a definition of terms, but do you want to try to define it now? I mean, does everybody here realize that there are things that you feel like saying that you sometimes actually even mean that you really ought not to say?
This includes about yourself, too.
In fact, sometimes, yeah. So, you know, in Matthew 12, by your words you be justified, by your words you be condemned. Proverbs 18:21, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat its fruit. Now, it doesn't say which fruit there, but it seems to me it's saying those that love it will eat one fruit or the other, life or death, based on what the tongue is yielding. And then Ephesians 4:29 says, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. And then there's the Colossians 4 passage that says, let your speech be with grace, as seasoned with salt, and that we get grace to the hearers, and that we would know how to answer each man or person. And whenever I read that, I always think, the way to answer this person and that person is not the same. Even if the issue and the thing at hand is the same, people are different. There is a way to speak to different people, and so there isn't just one way to speak to everyone. And we have to kind of ask the Lord for help to know who we're talking to, and maybe remember who we are when we open our mouth, because I'm pretty sure I've experienced forgetting that when my own mouth opened. So, we need to define the terms, because, there are a lot of unhelpful things that are 100% true. But stating a truth and operating in the truth are not the same thing, because the truth can be completely opposed to the truths that you're stating and the reasons for which you are stating them. And so it's not a matter of, well, I'm just trying to be accurate. It's good to be accurate, but it matters when and why and what you're trying to be accurate about, even if you are being accurate. And so much of the time we're not actually being accurate anyway. So, so we've agreed on a congregational rule. Now, I realize a huge challenge in this, and I'm expecting all of you, every time I say something that doesn't match that, to call me on it. And I'm asking every one of you to prepare yourself to be called on it by whoever in the congregation does call you on it. I'm also asking you to give, and you don't have to, but to give everyone here permission to call you on it. Your kids, your spouse, everybody. And then I'm going to ask all of you to be willing to, in a way that's seasoned with salt and filled with grace and meant to do good, to be willing to let the Lord prompt you to say, okay, you all agreed on this. Say something to them about what they just said. I'll give you the courage. You'll live through it. We'll all grow. So, and by the way, with respect to this building, a building, the subject of it, I believe the only things we should say are things that God would see as positive things to say. Yeah, I think the Lord has some things for us. And there is no place for being negative in the process of grabbing a hold of what God has for us. There's no place for it. None. So if you're about to cross the Jordan and see Jericho fall, or if you're about to enter the land 40 years before it did actually happen, what comes out of your mouth makes a huge, huge difference. And it can affect the next 40 years or more. So the fortunate thing is we have a God that loves us, has given us grace and power, and says that if we ask him for his spirit, he will give it to us. And his spirit doesn't operate in the things that we want to root out of our life. It only operates in the good. And that's the spirit he's giving to us. So let's ask him for it, and we will prevail. I appreciate everything my wife shared, and I will just once again say just watching the children, the mothers go up meant a lot to me. And then when Joanne went up with Miriam, there was something about that I can't explain, but this is really great. So should we just expedite things now, or do you want to do the Vishamru and the Shabbat Shalom and all of it? What? What?
I'm a man of tradition.